Are we willing to do all that we are supposed to do in order, shall I say, to help out the next man? Are we willing to do all that we're supposed to do in order to help out the next man? The scripture reading, as Brother Malachi read from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. God loves us. The thing that we need to ask ourselves and also ask others, do we believe that? Do we believe that? We believe that God loves us. There are so many of us that can say without reservation that we are here, and we all should be able to say it, that we are here only by the grace of God. We have been places, we have done things that we should rightfully have lost our lives. Because of the activities that we have participated in, and probably some are still participating in those things. But God has loved us enough to send his Son in order that we may be able to live. We have people that have been to trade schools. We have people that have been to colleges. We have people that are on the streets. And I said those three because trade school teaches you a trade. Colleges teaches you a profession, and the street teaches you exactly that, teaches you street. We learn from each one of those institutions, and we learn things that we sometimes have to forget about, not use those things any longer. Some we continue to use. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about love again. You hear me say it, and hopefully it is sinking in, that love is something that you are not born knowing how to do. We have some babies in the audience, some little children in the audience, and they don't understand what love is. They know that when mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever hugs them, that it makes them feel secure, but they really don't know what security is all about. It's like living in a gated community. When you get to that gate, you push a button or you put in a code and that gate opens. You go through that gate, and as you go through that gate closes. Now, have you ever stopped, looked in your rear view mirror, or have you ever just stopped and looked back and see how slow that gate closes? See, sometimes when you go through that gate, you speed through and you go on to your destination, and as you have sped through, somebody came in behind you. That is what we call a false sense of security. And we have some people that deliver false sense of security. But God has never, ever loved us falsely. Amen. He has loved us the exact way that he wants us to love him. And not just him, but in a way that he wants us to love others. How do we begin, or how do we get to the point of loving like this? Again, it is something that is taught. Love must be taught. If you're to have love in your home, you need to teach love in your home. You need to exercise love in your home. You need to demonstrate love in your home. Same with wherever you go. You have to love. You have to teach. You have to demonstrate. You have to do the things that will make people understand or get people to understand what love is all about. Let's look at some scriptures. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and the verse is 19. 1 John chapter 4 and the verse is 19. We love God. Why? Because He first loved us. Is there any better reason to love Him? No. No better reason at all. But just, you know, as we read this, we know that He loved us by everything that He has done. The creation. God did not have to create man. God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything that is here. The plants, the oceans, the animals. God created all those things. God could have said, that's it. I am just going to set back now on the sixth day and I'm just going to look at all these things that I've created. No, He created man. Then He rested on the seventh day. He created man in His image. What image is that? And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But we need to think about that just for a moment. God created man again in order that man may appreciate Him, that man may love Him, that man may be able to keep His word that he gave him and that He continues to give us by us reading the scriptures. God loves us. God is love. God is love. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, one of the scriptures that was in our Bible class on this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. I want you to listen to these words that we're reading here. I want you to hear them. I want you to hear them very well. And I want you to understand that as we think about love, that it must be taught, that we ourselves must be doing something, because love is an action word. Amen. Many of us speak it. We say, I love you. I love this. I love that. Amen. How can you love a person if you never show any affection toward that person? Amen. How can you say that you love ice cream when you've never had ice cream? I can say there's a whole lot of things I don't like because I've never had them. But there's nothing that you can say that you love and you never experienced those things or never enjoyed those things. So we need to think about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. That's a good statement, isn't it? Why, you know, a man is making straight A's in school. Why do you need to encourage him to make straight A's? He's making straight A's. What you want to do is you want to encourage him to continue to do what he's doing. You continue down that path. The teacher walked by you and they said, oh, I know I don't need to help you. I need to come over here. I need to help little Johnny because little Johnny has a problem. Little Johnny is not making straight A's. Maybe you ought to help little Johnny, the person that's making those straight A's. But Paul says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. You're just doing those things. You haven't been taught those things. No, that's not what Paul said. Paul said, you have been taught by God. See, the person that makes straight A's, those things just didn't come natural to them. They study to a certain degree to make those good grades. And as they make those good grades, they continue. Now some kids go into classroom and they're bored and they don't make straight A's. Why? Because they already know the material and they think that they don't have to do it. Well, in order to get to the next grade, you need to do that material. In order to graduate high school, you need to do that material. And then if you seek to go to college, when you get to college, you need to do your assignments in order to get past that. But Paul, again, he says that you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. The greatest teacher, God, taught to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Now, if you're taught something, what are you to do with what you're being taught? You're to use it. Paul said, you're doing those things throughout all of Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Same principle, is it not? You don't have to, you know, you're making those straight A's. Now we want to encourage you to continue to make those straight A's. You're loving. We don't have to teach you how to love, but we want you to do it more and more. Keep doing what you're doing. Do more of it. And to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs. I had to go just that verse, right? Because we got some people that don't live quietly and that don't mind their own affairs. If you're not living quietly, if you're not minding your own affairs, you're not loving the way you're supposed to love. But he wants to encourage them to do what they're supposed to do and to work with your own hands as we instructed you. Love is taught, and he tells them here, you're taught by God. You know, we can learn from God as well. God doesn't speak to us in a still voice. God doesn't wake us in the middle of the night and speak to us. We learn from God by reading his word. How to love one another. What we're supposed to do in order to encourage one another, to build one another up. These things are taught. We set our children down and we teach them how to love, how to treat one another, how to play fair on the playground. Not just to play good, but play fair on the playground. We teach them those things. How to be an example to others. How to love one another. How to love one another. Love is so important in our lives. We need love. We need love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. I was talking this morning about a little bit about the works of the flesh. Well, as we look in God's word, we can see that we have to put aside the works of the flesh, the desires that we sometimes have. We have to put those things aside, and we have to look at what love is all about. What does God want us to do? If you're not living according to God's word, you're living according to the prince of this world. You're doing the things that he wants you to do. But Paul says here as he writes, he says, in verse 22 of Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Top of the list, isn't it? Love. Well, again, he wrote in 1 Corinthians, without love, you can do nothing. You are nothing. You just a lot of talk. But we have to have love. So he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there's no law. There's no law. To love, you can love as much as you want. There's no limit to it. You've seen those commercials where they talk about, you know, when a police officer has pulled behind these people, you know, all the bad publicity that they get. But they pull behind these people and they go around and the person, you know, to that window, and the person thinks, man, what did I do? And they give them an ice cream cone or something like that. They're trying to demonstrate that we love you. That we're not all bad guys. You know, sometimes we have to think, why are people doing what they're doing? Do we love for show? No, we don't love for show. We love because we know that that's what we're supposed to do. We love because we want to be loved. We love because, again, God has first loved us, and we love him. We love his ways. We love his word. We love the things that he wants to do. We love the Spirit, so therefore, we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. And it will be demonstrated in our lives if we're truly, truly doing what God wants us to do. And we find in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We're looking again that these things must be taught. Love must be taught. You know, they put so much on the internet. It teaches people how to commit crimes. It teaches people, you know, how to abuse someone else, which is a crime as well. It teaches you all the bad things, but you can also look on there and you can find the good things. But there's nothing like being interactive with somebody to learn how to love. Practice your love. To show that you love. And as you're showing these things, somebody somewhere is looking at you. And as they're looking at you, they're learning as well. And they begin to do those things. You go home and you talk to your parents or you talk to your siblings. And you say things that you've never said to them before. You speak those words, I love you. And they look at you like, where did that come from? You know, and sometimes they forget, you know. We laugh at our families. You tell a man that you love him. You tell your dad that you love him. You know, and they say, "Okay," and that's it. But sometimes it sinks in, and they say, "I need to say those words. I need to demonstrate in my life and to you that I love you as well." So they say it back, "I love you," and it's a great thing, isn't it? To know that they're listening and that they realize that there's no shame in telling someone else that you love them. But this must be taught. We find that in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear but of power and love and self-control." This is what God has given us. A spirit not of fear but of power and love. Again, against what? There is no law. There's no law how much we can love. So we need to continue to love. As we have a breath in our bodies, we need to continue to love because God is always, always going to love us. Always. He's not going to turn his back on us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to always love us. And we can always be with him if we would do what we're supposed to do. God loves us despite of all the problems we cause him. Now, have we caused God any problems? Not just God, but we'll cause problems for others as well. But love has done something for us. Love has opened our eyes. You know, I've never been blind, but love has opened our eyes, our understanding, to know that we serve a God that loved us enough in order to send his son that we may live. But let's look at it and let's talk about it. How were we created? You know, God didn't create us in an imperfect way. God didn't create us as sinners. He didn't create us like that. Again, these are things that we learn. We learn sin. And when we learn sin, we say, man, I like this life. I think this is the direction I'm going to go from now on out. You go in that direction until you learn better. And when you learn better, again, you do better. In Ecclesiastes 7:29, it says, starting with verse 27, come down, Ecclesiastes 7:27. "Behold, this is what I found," says the preacher, "while adding one thing to another, find the scheme of things which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found." In verse 29, "See this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. What does that first sentence say? God loves us despite all the problems we cause him. I gave you everything that you need. Everything that would help you in this life, I've given to you, but you have sought out many schemes. Now we already know what God did with Adam and Eve. He put them out of the garden. We already know what he did in the days of Noah. He told Noah to build an ark. You and your family are going to be saved. And he destroyed the rest of the world with water. We already know that. We already know what he did with the Egyptians and Pharaoh when they was pursuing his children. He caused them to lose their lives in the midst of the Red Sea. We know this. Do we realize what God would do to us if we continue to cause him problems? You know, we tell our children, or used to anyway, they're ours are grown now. Some of you may still tell your children, I sure hope you do. Why are you going to make me whip you? Why do you make me do these things? The problems that they cause, you know, we have to discipline them. And that's what happens with us, with God. God disciplines us because we have caused him a problem. We have sorrowed him in some way. And he wants to get our attention because he wants us to realize that he loves us. He loves us. We find in Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 8, and we're just going to do 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Our God loves us. But you know, sometimes he's not listening to us. And you know that's what we say. God, you're not listening. Why is God not listening? Is it that he does not love us? No, it's not that he does not love us. He's not listening because we're not saying anything. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, or his ear dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so he does not hear. It's because of what we do. Isaiah is telling the children there of Israel, it's because of what you have done. That God is not listening to you, that God is not hearing you. The same holds true today. Lord, my prayers are not being answered. Why? Go back and read the word. Did I not tell you to love one another? You're not loving the way you're supposed to, so therefore, I'm not listening to you. Moms and dads tell their children, treat your brother right. Treat your sister right. Love them. That's your sister. Love them. Those of us that came from a big family, you didn't let someone else jump on anybody in your family and you not help them. You didn't do that. You were there to protect them. God is here to protect us. He loves us. He is going to take care of us. But when we go against his word, he's not listening to us. He's not coming to our aid. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to follow his word. Are we willing to do so? In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God was willing to do some things for us, although we still wasn't doing what we were supposed to do. He says in Romans chapter 5 and the verse is 8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. You know, as Paul writes to the church of Rome right here, he is telling them, you know, you were living at this time when Christ died for your sins. He loved you enough to send his son. That's why I wanted Malachi to read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are we willing today to believe in his word? To know that he sent his son in order to save the world? To save his children from their sins? Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. We look at those scriptures and we say, you know, yes, Jesus did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. But you know, there are times, again, we have to go back and read Isaiah 59 and we have to say, Lord, I see exactly what happened with the children of Israel and I can see it happening in my life today. I know that you're not hearing my prayers of here's what I'm going to do. I'm confessing to you what I've done wrong. I'm repenting of what I've done wrong. I'm asking you to forgive me. Amen. Then what that is doing is that is showing our love for God, because he has loved us to send his son to die while we were sinners. And we look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 9. Our God wants us to be saved. He does not want anyone to be lost. Brother Fair would say from time to time, the gospel is for whosoever will. The man, the woman that want to become a child of God, it's available. God is waiting on you. And it says the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. Some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Not some, but all reach repentance. So salvation is at hand. Salvation can be yours. You can show your love to God, to his word, by being obedient to what you read, to what you hear. There's so many of us that just don't want to do what's right. We do not want to acknowledge God as being God. He sent his son to die for us. Well, what are we to do in return? Very simple. Be obedient. Be obedient. Love him because he first loved us. How many of us have waited on God? Waited on him patiently? Or how many of us have tried to rush him? Lord, when is this thing going to happen? I've been waiting for a long time. When is it going to happen? Wait a long time again. Keep waiting. You wait until you get what you're supposed to have. Is that simple? Yes, it's just that simple. Again, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises. Some count slowness. Again, there's a lot of people that are giving up on God. I'm not going to love her. I'm not going to love him. I'm not going to love them. And I'm sure not going to love God, because he has not done what I have expected him to do. God does not operate on our terms. He operates on his terms. He loved us enough to give us his son. We should love him enough back by being obedient to his word. Love, again, is taught, but will cause God a lot of problems. But you know what? He still loves us. Do we love him? Do we love him? His love toward us is persistent and strong. It will never change. Never change. See, we are not, you know, always doing everything that we are supposed to do. We're a little hit and miss, a little wishy-washy. Not our God. Not our God. He keeps showing us from time to time, time again, how much he loves us, how much he's trying to get our attention. I went to bed last night and I had pain, but God woke me up this morning. I had no pain. He's persistent. I want to show you that I'm God. Your house is caught on fire, but something woke you up. No, it wasn't something. It was somebody woke you up and you got out. He's persistent. He wants to get our attention. It was a wreck yesterday, right in front of the house, and a gentleman was on his motorcycle, and he stopped, and he was telling the ladies next door. He said, "You know, my seat was messed up a little bit, and I stopped to fix my seat. That could have been me in that wreck right there if I would have kept going." He's absolutely right. The thing that we have to ask ourselves is this: was your attention gotten by that accident? I know none of you were there, but you've been there before. When the train has stopped you and you were mad because the train stopped you, but as that train went on and that caboose came through, and again, some of you probably don't know what a caboose is. That's the end of the train when there's actually a caboose there and not a boxcar. But you get to the other side after the train is gone and you see an accident up there and you say, "That could have been me." Did God get your attention when that happened? When that car rolled over and you were saved, you were in that accident, you didn't make it past this one, or you got to this one and you was in that accident, did God get your attention? He's persistent.
He's persistent. He wants our attention. He wants us to focus on Him. He wants us to realize how much He loves us.
We didn't die in that accident, or we didn't die in that fire because our lives were not what they were supposed to be. Or maybe our lives were, but somebody else's was not. Did God get their attention? He loves us enough. His love is strong. There's no force like the force that God has to show His love to us, to send His Son to die, but yet raise Him on the third day. That's love, isn't it? That He may live, that we may live, that we may have an opportunity to confess our sins, that we may have an opportunity to confess who Jesus Christ is, that we may have an opportunity to go into the watery grave to have our sins washed away. That's the type of God we serve. Are you willing today to serve Him, to live for Him, to continue to grow, to continue to be faithful? Are you willing to do so? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become one. We want you to experience love like you've never experienced before. That we may show our love to one another, that we may love God first, and then that we may love our neighbor as ourselves. Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Oh, should we do this? Yes, we should do this. Why? Because God commanded it, and we are to keep His commands. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's the word of God. That's not by opinion. That's not what we think nor what we feel. That is the word of God. Do you love Him enough to keep His word? Hear, believe, repent, confess. Be baptized, live, grow, and continue to live faithful. The invitation is yours. If you're here, you're not a child of God. We want to encourage you to come down the aisle today and make that confession and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here and you're strayed away from the fold, we want to encourage you to come back. Confess your faults. Ask for prayers of the church that you may be strengthened. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.